gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I am your boy Buzz, and as always, I'm joined by my dude Goose, aka Bulls Scripted, and we are here with another special guest episode of Bulls on Tap. This week, it's featuring Matt Peck of Locked On Bulls and NBC's Bulls Outsiders. Matt's a diehard Bulls fan. We're very excited to have him on the show and have a fun time talking Bulls basketball and what he's been up to during quarantine. Before we get into the episode, be sure to go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, following Goose on Twitter at Bulls Scripted, and following me at Buzz on Tap. So sit back, relax, and get ready for another fun episode. Hey everybody, welcome to Bulls on Tap. We are joined by Matt Peck, host of Locked On Sox and one of the three Bulls outsiders. He was so gracious to join us tonight, talk some Bulls basketball, what he's been up to during quarantine, and I wish this was on video because the mustache is something that I wish I could do. I have a beard, but I cannot grow anything remotely like that, which is it's goddamn impressive. It's damn impressive. But Matt, I wanted to welcome you on the show, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. Thanks for having me. And don't think I didn't notice you just tried to sneakily defect me to the dark side, a.k.a. being a White Sox fan. I'm the host of Locked On Bulls, not Locked On Sox, man. Where's your brain at?
Did I say Sox?
You did.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, clearly, my God. I'm
somebody's
so
thinking about the world of baseball right now, and I don't blame you.
I'm sorry, man.
Because what the hell is going on with Major League Baseball right now?
Dude, I don't know. I'm so sick of all the rumors that are flying around with this, you know, I think we saw 70 games now is what they were trying to push for again, and or 60-something games, and the prorated salaries and the universal DH, and people are getting upset. But we did have the host of Locked On Sox on a couple weeks ago. That was Herb. My bad. Locked
Herb's
On.
The man.
Yeah, Herb is the man. I've been fortunate enough to share some beers with Herb in the past at a couple events, but yeah, my bad about that. Locked On Bulls. I can't believe I did that.
I wouldn't let it slide were it not for the fact that I am, in fact, a Cubs fan.
Yeah, you and Keith both. You and Goose both are Cubs fans. I'm outnumbered here today, but that's fine. That's fine. Keith, what have you been up to, man? It's been a week.
Bought a new kitchen set today. Choice Furniture, going out of business. Grabbed that. Took my car for a nice little drive. That's about it. I mean, buying into basketball card breaks because I'm bored out of my mind, and it's like scratch-off tickets for a basketball junkie. So, you know, good times.
Well, before we get into the first question here, man, I just want to remind everybody to check out Locked On Bulls. Locked On Bulls, not fucking Locked On Sox. Check out Locked On Bulls and check out all of Matt's work on Bulls Outsiders. They have a podcast that releases as well. It's very good, so be sure you check that out. But Matt, again, I want to thank you for coming on, man. It's awesome. But let's get in the first question here. What are your thoughts on the new front office? We've kind of done the last three episodes. This is the fourth now we've done guests. We've had Kevin Anderson, Herb, and Tony Gill join us on the last three episodes. We've kind of been asking the same questions, just trying to get, you know, people's opinions on what they think the new front office can bring.
Yeah, I mean, well, the initial reaction that I had was just like, I couldn't believe it. I've been saying it so many years now. It seems like I've been saying it my whole life. Like, I'll believe it when I see it. Anytime I hear any kind of reporting or rumors about Gar or Pax or both getting the axe. And so we started to hear a lot of that stuff earlier on this season. You know, like David Kaplan was talking about it a lot on his various shows, saying like, oh, big changes are coming. And then all of a sudden, All-Star Weekend, you know, Chicago is hosting the entire NBA world, and the Bulls are a joke. But everybody's like, oh, man, Chicago, what a great city. What a great, you know, once proud basketball city. And then that was the week that we got the news that was like, oh, it's happening. Change is coming. So, you know, as far as AK and Eversley and the other hires, you know, they've made Connolly and Polk and all those guys, I like the hires. But I'm still just like, I feel like I'm a kid living in a dream world where this has finally actually happened, because I mean, I don't want to speak for you guys, but I've been calling for this front office overhaul for 5 or 6 years now.
Yeah, I followed you for a long time on Twitter, you know, listened to your opinions on a bunch of different things. And I think I gave up on Pax and Gar in general. God, man, it was maybe 2017 is when I started throwing my tweets out there, maybe 2018, where I'm like, I'm not happy with the direction that everything's going. I'm a little worried about it. I was worried about the Lowry pick. I was worried about the Wendell pick. I was like, I don't think these guys can put them all together. These guys have talent, but I don't know if they could put it all together. And
the Dwayne Wade Rajon Rondo summer was definitely like I had it up to here, right. And then the Taj and Doug for campaign trade, that was the final nail in the coffin for me.
Did that hit you at the time? Did that hit you at the time? Yeah, because a lot of people were like, oh, well, he's got potential. You know, I mean, you know how people get. It's like the same thing with quarterbacks in the NFL, right? Well, he played behind Russell Westbrook. He's gonna be great. So he comes in, and then
he was Russell Westbrook's dance partner. Right. What could be bad about that?
Right, it turned out to be very less than great, and didn't work out very well. But I had a hard time getting really super salty until I think the end of the 18 going into 19 season, and that's just because I've had a ticket package for a year or two now, and Gar bought me a drink. And he was a nice guy, and I felt shitty that I was just like, wow, you suck at your job. You know, I had like a heart on me. I felt bad that I was like, man, this dude bought me a fucking Jack and Coke here in the atrium.
Yeah.
You know, but
I mean, that's just kind of how relationships work, though, and how, you know, human interaction works. You can think somebody's a nice person and still think that they're bad at their job.
Right.
Like, me and my outsiders guys, Big Dave and John, we're like yucking it up with Jim Boylan at this Bulls charity gala that we went to last fall. Boylan came up to us and was like, you know, I think he was trying to grease us a little bit. Like, he was trying to give us like an elevator pitch about how this season's going to be so much better. Everything's going to be great. I'm skeptical, but I was like, I really wanted to not like Jim Boylan, the guy, because I looked at his coaching last season. I was like, oh, this is a disaster. But I liked him. And I every time I have a negative thought or say something mean about him, I feel a little bit bad, and I'm sure that's the same way you feel after actually having the experience. For most Bulls fans, Gar Pax is just this like amorphous blob of evil that they don't actually know the people behind it. It's just the people that run their team, and they want their team to be better.
Right. And you're absolutely right. I can't speak for Goose, so I'll let him on this. But I met Boylan three times last year, but one was at the open practice for season ticket holders. We got to go, and he couldn't have been a nicer guy to us. And then I was like, all of a sudden, dude, after we met him and had a conversation with him, I was like, you know what? This practice was free-flowing. The ball was moving. The shots were going in. The guy seemed confident. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, okay, hang on. I'm going to back off my usually hating everything in the world type deal when it comes to the Bulls to I'm going to give this a chance. And then he immediately kind of proved me right in my first theory that it was going to be a bad time. Goose, I don't know how you felt about that. You want to chime in there?
Well, I do think the whole Gar buying you a drink thing is symbolic because he didn't fucking pay for that. That was free. There you go. So that's just like Gar. Suckers you in, makes you feel like, oh yeah, I'm a good guy. I just bought you a drink when really he just gave you something that was free. As for Boylan, no. I mean, we were at that practice and he made it clear that we were going to shoot more threes. He just didn't tell us that we weren't going to be allowed to shoot mid-range. And that Wendell Carter Jr. wasn't going to be allowed to look at the basket, free throw line out, and that we were just going to have regression all around because unless you were shooting a three or you were Zach LaVine giving him the bird and dribbling away, you weren't really going to get much else. So I got suckered by Boylan, and now I can't wait till he's gone, and that's why I laughed a little bit when Matt said that he's in a dream. I don't know that it's a good dream yet because we still got Boylan here. So
it's still a fever dream of some kind.
We're getting there.
Boylan's still here.
Oh, man. I do think, honestly, like if I had a gun to my head right now and I had to choose, like, is AK really going to give him a shot and Mark Eversley going to give him a shot or are they going to let him go? I'm pretty sure he's gone. I mean, you have to agree. You agree with that, right, Matt? He's gone, right?
Yeah, I think there's not a chance. I just saw somebody earlier today who was, I think it was Malika Andrews, who's now with ESPN, but she used to work with Casey at the Trib for a while.
Yeah.
She's a great reporter. She said, I think on a podcast appearance today or something, that she's heard, that the Bulls are going to give him a shot. But to me, that's still just the same thing that we've heard about the Reinsdorfs saying, well, we'd like to, you know, have AK keep an open mind to the idea of retaining Jim Boylan because they really like him. We've heard that time and again. The Reinsdorfs love Jim Boylan. Which it's like, okay, well, the reason you're bringing in a new front office and are tasking them to fix this is because y'all opinions about who's good at basketball stink. Because this, look where we are right now. So it's like, we'd really like you to keep an open mind to the idea that this guy that we picked, who is by all accounts terrible at being a head NBA basketball coach, we'd like you to still consider. No, they were brought in to fix the mess. Jim Boylan is part of the mess. They're going to move on from him. I think it's just about AK trying to do this in the most professional way possible.
Right. So, I mean, you basically kind of went along Herb and Tony's guidelines and that, and even Kevin's as well, is like, you know, maybe AK will do his due diligence with them just to appease the new ownership that he, you know, the new franchise that he works for. It's right. Just I don't think he's going to be influenced by them. He seems like a pretty strong-minded dude, and with the reports that we've seen, and I don't want to, I'm going to butcher the name again. Goose, help me.
Ime Udoka.
Thank you. With the reports of Ime Udoka, you know, and that's been popping up even more and more. I think that his days are for sure numbered. You know, and I'm excited to see what this new front office brings. I mean, Chicago sports have been. You're a diehard Chicago sports fan just like me. You might be on the opposite end of the spectrum of baseball than I am, but I don't want to suck anymore. And, you know, like I just,
yeah,
you know, it's like you go to work and then you come home from work and then your hobby is to watch sports and then that sucks too. And you're like, all right, that's cool. Well, I'm just going to go to bed right now. There's nothing else to do. But, yeah, man, speaking of AK and Mark and everything like that, who do you think they'd like to keep around, and who are players that you'd like to keep around? Because, you know, everybody's on the table. We've talked about this. We don't think anybody's untouchable on this squad, and rightfully so. I don't think anybody's proven to be untouchable. If a right offer comes along, you have to look at anything.
Right.
Do you think there's any players, man, that are untouchable in your mind or in AK and Mark Eversley's mind?
I would say right now, my opinion, there is not a single piece of this roster that you would deem to be untouchable. I think AK and Eversley probably feel the same way, and they're going to come into this with as much of an open mind as possible to say, okay, let's evaluate this talent. Let's evaluate the chemistry or lack thereof between certain pieces of this young talent on our roster, because we do know that they like some of the talent that's here. And I don't think that AK and Eversley would take this job if they thought that they were coming in with nothing to work with. And maybe something to work with is a tradable asset, and maybe it's a piece that they want to keep and build around. But I mean, a recent comment from AK in one of his many interviews that I, you know, thought was interesting was him saying there's way too much talent on this roster to see the results that we saw this season. And it would be like, ding, 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 Jim Boylan, that's your exit cue. That's basically saying this was a poorly coached team, because
right,
there's too much talent for a team to be 20 games under 500 when the season stalled, when the Bulls had gotten through, you know, the bulk of their schedule. So I think no pieces are untouchable. They're going to come in, they're going to evaluate, they're going to see what they like. And I also hope that AK is going to stick to the goal that he stated of figuring out what the hell went wrong with Lauri Markkanen this year. Because, you know, I'm not saying he's an untouchable piece. If the Bulls decided he didn't fit and traded him, I'd be upset, but I would understand. I'm putting my trust in this new front office. But he was the piece in that trade when we decided to move on from Jimmy, that when we saw his rookie year, I thought, oh, this kid could be special.
Yeah, real deal.
And then, you know, he's had nagging injuries that he's dealt with that have cut his, you know, his first three seasons short at various moments. But this season, he just looked like a bad basketball player. He looked like an uninvolved member of the team, just perimeter, not being very aggressive, not getting in transition game a whole lot. It's just like, I refuse to believe that the Lauri we saw this season is the real Lauri. He can't be actually that bad.
Right. I
personally
agree with that.
Feel like Jim Boylan gave Lauri a case of the Darko Milicek. Like, Lauri just checked out. He just didn't care anymore. His love for the game was taken away from him by this bald, bum-shaped head man with a punch clock who just says, shoot that three. Shoot it. And get that rebound. You want to shoot? Get the rebound. And that's all he has to say. And that doesn't work with a player like Lauri, because he's not – we all wish he had more Mamba mentality to him and he was more aggressive. You're going to have to get to Lauri in a different way, and Jim Boylan's not the coach that's going to get there. So hopefully that exit cue comes sooner rather than later, because I keep seeing reports that the Knicks are actually openly speaking with people, as where the Bulls have to be doing it behind closed doors at this point, because Jim is still – coming to work.
Right, because we can't hurt Jim's feelings, because that's what matters here.
I wish somebody would hurt my feelings by telling me, here, we owe you another $5 million. We just don't ever want to see you again. I wish somebody would hurt my feelings that way.
As my buddy Sabine from Outsiders put it one time, it's like, you know, classic story of American success. A middle-aged white man continues to fail his way to the top. That is the definition of Jim Boylan being the Bulls head coach right now.
I'm dying. Oh, that's fantastic. You know, I know this isn't on the questionnaire here, but you had brought up a point about how the Bulls were 20 games under 500. I really hope that's a Moscow Mule you're drinking right now, too. Am I right on that?
It is actually a Kentucky Mule. I'm definitely a big fan of bourbon, not a fan of vodka. Nice copper tin, but I always go with the bourbon instead of the clear liquors. As one of my favorite TV characters, Ron Swanson, would say, clear liquors are for rich women on diets. I am not a rich woman, and I am never on a diet.
I'm going to tell you what. I think it was in the stars that our paths crossed, because I am a big bourbon guy, big whiskey guy. I actually just ordered Creek Water whiskey. It's made by a guy named Yellow Wolf, who's a rapper or whatever, but it's called Creek Water. He has a cinnamon one that just came out as well, and then he's working on a honey whiskey. I'm a big whiskey guy and a big bird. I love bird.
Dude.
Big fan.
Always. Especially, you know, when the world is going to shit like that. I'm sorry, can we swear on this podcast?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Whatever you want.
When the world is going to shit around us, we need good whiskey to sip on.
I guess we should start putting that disclaimer out there to guests that, yes, this is unfiltered. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, whatever you want, man.
Nothing off limits. You want to make an ass of yourself, go for it.
You guys didn't strike me as the PG podcast type.
No, we're not. We're not, man. Well, you know, Herb said the same thing, I think, on his episode, and so did Kevin. And I think Kevin got a little bit heated when he heard I never saw a Star Wars movie in my life, and he threw a little shade at me. Threw a little shade at me here and there. But there was a question.
I've never told Bulldog about my indifference on the Star Wars saga just because I don't want to disappoint him.
Yeah, you know, I wish somebody would have told me that before I walked into that that interview with him. But, you know, it was all good. It was all good. I'm a big Kevin fan. But you had brought up being 20 games under 500. And, again, I know this isn't on the questionnaire, but can you please give me the details about your and Fred's bet, dude? Because Fred's a good friend of ours. We've hung out with him quite a few times outside of the Twitter sphere. Physically been with Fred quite a few times. He's a really good dude. He's funny as hell. He cracks me up. He hates Kirk Heinrich. That's the only thing I don't like about Fred. But other than that, can you please rub in his face a little bit? Because every time I post something Kirk Heinrich on Twitter, I think he has, like, Kirk Heinrich is a favorite on his Twitter. So when it gets tweeted out by me, he can come and just try to smite me as soon as I post it.
I
want you to tell us about the bet that you won in a fucking landslide.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. It was not hard. As I made the bet, I was like, this is going to be an easy W for me. So he and I were talking about expectations for the season. And he was like, you know, his whole mantra of like, oh, okay. So I know I said 7 seed last year, but I meant this year. It's totally going to happen this year. This is the year. The Bulls are back. And I'm like sitting here thinking like, Fred, you're on drugs, man. And can I have but so it was a simple one. It was like, okay, man, 500 or better or 500 or worse. I was like, if they win 41 games, you win the bet. If they win 40 or fewer games, I win the bet. And the terms I didn't think were fair at all in my favor. I couldn't believe Fred was willing to make the bet, because mine was just like wearing either a Dwayne Wade or Jabari Parker jersey on an episode of Outsiders, because he knows how much I hate those two and their Bulls tenures. And he was willing to wager his side of it being, if he lost, I got to pick a month, a calendar month, to kick him off of Twitter. Because I felt like not only myself, but the entire Bulls Twitter sphere could use a break from that dude's insanity. He poisons people's minds. And at least it's trying to poison people with optimism and positivity. But at a certain point, you're like, no, dude, you're like, Fred is the fakest version of fake news that exists. Like, they're so, hashtag fake news. Fred is fake news. And I get so freaking sick of it sometimes. It's like, oh, dude, this is the year. No, it's not. It's so clearly not the year.
We have a guy like that who works for On Tap. His name's Lucas Perfetti. And we brought him in to run the Bears side of things. And as you know, plug for you and Big Dave, you guys did Hot Mic this year. For the first time, we were all approached to try to launch this product up off the ground. And it was a great time. It was cool. You know, I mean, me and Amp, who works for On Tap, we did it. But Lucas came on about week 8, I want to say, and he is like, he is Fred, but Bears version. And I was telling him all year, I'm like, dude, I think that 12-4 season was just, I've been a season ticket holder my whole life. I was like, I think it was just a flash in the pan, dude. I don't think this is going to be sustained success here. And it's the same thing. I just got to get a bet with him going like you did for, well, no, in my luck, I'll get fucked.
At least Bears fans had a reason to be optimistic if they just saw, hey, 12-4,
right,
lost a playoff game. They probably should have won.
Right.
Like I was optimistic. I was all aboard, like, Bears are Super Bowl bound this year, baby. And some of it was a little bit misguided. And I think it was just Bears fans finally having a reason to feel optimism again, because that season in 2018, we were like, oh, my God.
Magical.
Oh, my God, the Bears suddenly got good again.
Yep.
And there's so much excitement around Bears fans when the team is even mediocre and threatening to make a playoff bid. With the Bulls, it was like, dude, we're coming off of a season where we won, like, 27 games. And how many of those were, like, based on just, like, a G League roster beating a team that was playoff bound sitting its entire roster in the back end of, like, March and April? How do you take that, the same coach, basically the same roster, and expect this crazy leap of like 15 to 20 wins, which is what Fred was imagining? And I'm like, look, I felt good about the development of Zach and Lowry. I liked the pick of Kobe White. I was excited to see his rookie year. I even thought the additions of Thad Young and Satoransky made sense. They weren't flashy, but they made sense to address needs on the roster. But for that big of a win jump to actually happen, so many things need to go right, and I didn't believe that that number of things would go right. So of course, you know Fred could call me a hater and tell me to pound sand and you know, call me not a believing Bulls fan, but it's like, yeah, guess what, the Bulls only played 67 games this season or whatever it was, and yeah, they already had 43 losses. So how about you take that L, Fred?
Yeah, that's a bad L to take. That is definitely
honesty though, I would like to add, I absolutely love Fred. He is the nicest guy. He's always a joy to be around. That's a lie. He's often a joy to be around when he comes by and subs in for an outsider show if John and Dave are gone. He's a terrific guy, and I'll give him this. I don't know many Bulls fans who are more passionate than he is.
Oh, absolutely. That dude loves the team. 100%. He loves the teams. But speaking of him sitting in on Outsiders, man, how is it being a part of Bulls Outsiders? I know me and you've talked about that before just through Twitter DMs and about how, you know, excited you were to be a part of that. What's it like being on that, man? I mean, you guys watch the game in its entirety in the studio. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, so we actually watch from the green room, which is, like, adjacent to the studio.
Okay.
Basically where they people get ready to, or before they go on camera, there's a green room off to the side, and there's like a little makeup room attached to the green room. But so the green room is basically just this room with the, you know, two big TVs in it, and then just like a little like half circle of Lazy Boys. It's like my favorite room in the world. And it's at, like, you know, Fred called it Bulls Disney World, which is actually a pretty good name for it, because as a Bulls fan, you walk in, you're like, oh my God, there's Lazy Boys and, you know, big screen TVs everywhere. There are all these, like, famous Chicago sports media people coming and going that, for, you know, the average fans like us, it's like, I get starstruck by media people just as much as I get starstruck by the players when I'm actually around the players. So, yeah, dude, I mean, it's a dream. It's an absolute dream. And, you know, the fact that we get to watch these games with not only, like, broadcasting people who are so talented, like Mark Schanowski in year one, and then Jason Goff joining the team here in season two. But, like, watching games with Kendall Gill and Will Perdue, man, it's just like, I grew up watching and idolizing these guys.
Right.
Like, Will Perdue is an NBA champion who won three of his rings, like, with the Bulls.
Right.
Like, the dude was one of my heroes growing up. Kendall Gill, you know, he only had that one short stint with the Bulls towards the end of his career, but he was always one of my favorite players outside of the Bulls across the league. I loved his defense. I thought he was an underrated offensive playmaker. And I just, you know, of course, even going back to his days at U of I was always a big Kendall fan. And now they're just like my coworkers who I'm just shooting the shit with and watching basketball with and absorbing their information and, you know, getting all these amazing stories from their playing days. It's a dream come true, man. And honestly, you know, Big Dave and John is just, it's the cherry on top of like the coolest Sunday of a job, because they are two of my favorite people in the world. We didn't know each other before coming in to those auditions for Outsiders. We had never met before. I was like aware of who Big Dave was because of his, you know, presence in Chicago sports. sports and Bulls podcasting. But we just met and clicked and hit it off. And we were all just so thrilled when they you know, offered us the job and become like, we text all day, every day. Like, now that like the season is over, we just like miss each other and just like text each other about NBA stuff and about completely non NBA related stuff, just because we're like, we feel like we all three of us are only one third whole right now.
Right. Makes a lot of sense. I mean, I'm glad for you, man. I'm happy for you. It sounds like an awesome gig, and you know, you deserve it. You do a lot of hard work within the Bulls realm of things, you know, podcasting, writing, all that stuff. And why don't you tell us a little bit about Locked On too? I know this was a while ago, but obviously you haven't been on the podcast before, but you guys hit over 1 million downloads. And I think it was like, what, 3-4 months ago that happened, or was that a little longer? I've lost track of time.
I appreciate the kind words, by the way. And, you know, I don't deserve this job more so than any other Bulls fans. I mean, it's a dream job, and I'm very fortunate to have it. And I don't take it for granted. That's for certain. So yeah, Locked On, it was our 2019, you know, January through December calendar year. For the first time in a full year, we hit 1 million downloads. So we had already eclipsed 1 million download mark as far as total downloads when we started, because we joined on the Locked On Network, and I want to say the fall of 2017. And then, you know, gradually built up our listenership and our following, and then did pretty well in 2018, despite the team being bad. And then, you know, between my a little bit of probably exposure matters, but also production work and the fact that we were very lucky to just get a lot of people to say yes to come on and be guests on our show. And you know, if you get solid guests who know what they're talking about and are entertaining listens, that's like, as I'm sure you guys know as well, that can really help your listens and your downloads and people starting to pay attention to your podcast. Is who can I get to come on my podcast who is perhaps different than me, has more experience than me, is, you know, somewhat related to what we're doing, but has a different perspective on it. And that's what I think the, you know, sports podcast listeners are always looking for these days, are really solid guests. So, you know, I owe a lot of the success of that podcast to Jordan's production work, which is so good that he got a job as a producer at 670 that he's been doing for the past year now. I'm so happy for him and so proud of him for that. And then also just all the amazing people who were willing to give us their time.
Oh, absolutely, man. Like I said, you do a lot of hard work, and it shows in the products that you guys put out on Bulls Outsiders and on Locked On Bulls. So that's good stuff. Moving on with the no basketball theme, like you had mentioned, you know, you feeling like you're not whole. I don't think any of us feel whole. And Goose, we'll start with you for this one. Then.
Give me some basketball.
I know. I need it, man. I need it. I'm miserable without it. But Goose, we'll start with you on this one. What do you think about this Disney-themed NBA season that might be happening?
I mean, I think if it's what it takes to get the job done, it's what you got to do. You see Dana White, you know, he was talking about private islands, Mortal Kombat style shit.
He's got it, you know, bro. He's got Fight Island locked down.
It's the end of days right now. So if Disney World is the only safe haven and you got to lock all the best basketball players in the world in for 3 months to decide who's a champion, I guess that's what you got to do. I think singling out the resorts, I don't know if you guys saw the meme the other day, but somebody put all the teams that are staying at each specific resort, and then they put all the teams that weren't going to the bubble on a couch. And of course we were on the couch, which is sad. I mean, because it only took 29 wins to get into the bubble if you're the Phoenix Suns, and we couldn't even accomplish that.
That's so brutal. Like, I don't know, man. That just, see, when you said it like that, it hurt me even more.
As long as it hurts Jim Boylan, we'll be good.
I was gonna say, aren't you guys relieved that we don't have to watch Jim Boylan like struggle bus his way to coaching 17 more games, like, or even 8 more games in this bubble?
I am excited about not watching Boylan coach anymore, but I was
Kobe's
really
undefeated as a starter.
That's
man.
What I was gonna say. You took it. Kobe White's undefeated as a starter, man. I was riding on that. I was riding on that for a little bit, but
1-0 against Cleveland Cavaliers.
I was gonna say, and who did we win in that game? Was it the Cleveland Cavaliers?
No context for this Cavaliers. Point.
Irrelevant. Irrelevant.
Erroneous on all accounts.
But, I mean, what do you think about it, Matt? I mean, I know we've seen a lot of different kind of rumors floating around that we might not get some, you know, there might be some players that might be sitting out of this or whatever. A lot of fans, I know you have a big presence on Twitter, and you're very active on Twitter as well, and I've seen a lot of fans just want to call the season quits and not even do this in general. But then it makes me kind of feel selfish because I don't want anybody in danger. That's the first right. and foremost thing. I don't want anybody in danger, man. If there's, you know, like, I know Florida showed its biggest spike in numbers from what it was a tweet, so I might not be right, and I don't feel like Googling it right now because I have shitty internet here.
No, you are correct. It was like some day recently, like, yeah, within like 3,000. They had their biggest one day like spike of the entirety of from when this started.
Right, and there was over 200 employees from what I've read at the at one of the main airports. I can't remember if it was Orlando or Miami. I can't remember which one it was, but like 200 employees came down with it, and that's how players are going to be traveling in to do this in Disney if they go through Orlando. So I can understand why some players would want to sit, but selfishly, if they can find a way to do it, of course I'm going to watch. You know, I just don't know how likely it is because we still don't know where we're at in a society right now with all this COVID stuff going on. You don't want to put your family in danger. You don't want to put your teammates in danger, your coaching staff, yourself. You know, I'm just very, yeah. I'm very curious to see what happens. I don't know what your opinion is on it.
I mean, I'm with you, man. Like, of course I want NBA playoff games. Of course I do. I'm a junkie for that stuff. I'm relieved that the bull season is over and that we got out this new front office, you know, getting a jump start. And yeah, it's going to suck to have this incredibly long, abnormal off season where we're not going to see Bulls basketball, competitive Bulls basketball again until probably December. You know, 9 months without Bulls sucks. If we can have some NBA playoff action to kind of help, you know, ease some of that pain of not having Bulls basketball, I'm all for it. But like you said, it's a safety first. It's about the safety of the players, their families, everybody who's going to be in this bubble. And the numbers in Florida are spiking right now. It makes me think of just like it's something I think about a lot is the hypocrisy that diehard sports fans don't like to address within themselves about how much we want and crave and need our sports that we love so much that are a wonderful distraction. And, you know, they're about the teams, they're about the players. We love rooting for them. We love watching them win. You know, when they feel pain of loss, we feel pain of loss. But there are bigger issues around sports that sometimes it's hard to actually look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm being completely logically honest with how I feel about my sports fandom and how I feel about being a good human being. Right. Like another one that I think of a lot is the whole Colin Kaepernick thing from 3 or 4 years ago, where that was kind of like the last straw for a lot of NFL fans who were like, they just straight up blackballed this guy from the league for, you know, peacefully protesting racial injustice and police brutality. And I know a good friend of mine from college who used to be a diehard New York Giants fan. We used to talk football all the time together. He was like, I stopped watching, man. He was just like, I'm a fan because some of that stuff is so messed up. And it's like, I sometimes think about that stuff, whether it's do I crave NBA playoffs so much that I'm willing to let other people risk their lives and their health for my entertainment? Am I willing to, you know, just kind of put one blind eye to the injustice and grossness of the way that the NFL treated Colin Kaepernick because I want my football on Sundays? It's just, you know, it's an ugly reality that human beings are not perfect. And a lot more often than not, we're selfish beings.
Oh, no, that's a really, really good point, man. Especially, you know, looking in the mirror as a sports fan, commenting on the Colin Kaepernick thing, I never cared, man. He's got the right to do it. That was always my thing. That's it. It's it. Whatever he wants to do is cool with me, man. I'm here to watch a football game. I'm here to do what I got to do, and that's about it. Anybody can do whatever they want. That's supposed to be the cool thing about this country is we're supposed to be able to do whatever, you know, we have the freedoms. Not obviously, you know, you can't go up and shoot somebody in the fucking head. That's not what I'm talking about. But you have the right to do peacefully protest. You have the right to speak your mind. I mean, that's two things there with the Kaepernick thing. And then going to the basketball thing with all this COVID stuff. A lot of fans that I've seen on Twitter get really shitty. Well, the players don't want to play and they're making millions. It's like, dude, like you wouldn't sign that contract to play, you know, make millions of dollars to play a fucking sport. Like, am I wrong on that? Like, you don't know if a player's wife is pregnant or his mom is going through some shit or his dad is going, whatever have you. You don't know.
Like, we got another great example of that recently with Scotty in the Last Dance doc and some Bulls fans who maybe didn't know everything about Scotty's background, Scotty's family life. And that being a huge, heavily weighing factor in his decision to take that crazy long-term contract that was long-term security for not only himself but his family, which, of course, ended up being an awful contract for him down the road. But, of course, that's something that athletes think about.
Right. You know, you're 100% right, man. Well, we'll move into our next question here. And this one is obviously super fan-based here. I know you've probably been to a million, and it's probably hard to count. I've been to so many I can't count either. But what is your favorite Bulls game that you've ever attended?
Okay, so it's a two-part answer. I've been asked this question a couple times, and it's such an easy answer for me. So I have a favorite game from the Dynasty days when I was a kid, and then I've got a favorite game from, like, the 2010s era when the Bulls were actually good again. 1997 NBA Finals game. Karl Malone misses two free throws. You know, Scotty has the whole line about the mailman not delivering on Sundays. inbounds pass to MJ, who just, you know, dribbles up to the left elbow, stutter step on Byron Russell, poor guy, drills the buzzer beater. Bulls win game one of the 97 finals. I was there in the building. I wasn't even actually with my parents. My brother and my sister were being babysat by my uncle. They were off on some vacation. My parents had some friends had one of the upper deck skybox like areas that they split with some of their friends. And occasionally they would be so kind to invite us crazy little, you know, Bulls rugrat maniacs that would run around their fancy skybox and just tear the place apart with our sugar rushes. So I was in the building for that one, game one of 97 finals, which I just went berserk. I'll never forget the sound of the stadium that night. And then my favorite one from the more recent Bulls days would be game one Eastern Conference Finals against the Heat, when the Bulls blew them out in game one. And Taj Gibson had that awesome dunk over Wade, and then had that awesome putback dunk later in the fourth quarter when the Bulls were just like, you know, pantsing the hell out of the Heat. That was like a month before I moved to Los Angeles. So that was like me and my roommate. It was like our big blowout. It was like, we've got all these moving expenses, and this doesn't make any sense to spend money on game one Eastern Conference Finals tickets at all right now. But when are we going to get another chance to do this? We're about to move to that only gives us like two chances to see the Bulls instead of actually living in Chicago. So we're like, screw it. We threw down the money for the tickets, and it was the best decision ever, because that game one win in the Eastern Conference Finals is the best the Bulls have had it since the Dynasty ended. It's been all downhill from there.
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. I mean, those are two awesome games. How old were you in the 97 game one?
I was 10, 11.
Okay, I was there in the 300 level. My always love telling this story. I was lucky enough to go with my dad. I was 7 years old, and I'm not going to lie to you. Do I remember it? Very, very not vividly. not much. I remember being there, but I couldn't tell you how the game went. I could now, because I've watched it 10 million times. I couldn't tell you how the game went, but that was the coolest thing in the world to me, man. I grew up with a single father and a one-bedroom trailer in Blue Island until we got into the Southwest burbs. He saved up for a couple years, got us here, but God damn it, dude, we had Bulls and Bears season tickets.
Dude, that is some high-level parenting, man.
That's
where you know where your parenting priorities are. 100%. We live in a one-bedroom trailer together, but I'm taking my son to the UC every night.
Yep, it was magical, man. Sundays at Soldier Field with the old man, going to Bulls games during the week when he got off of work. It was just me and him. It was some good shit back then. So I mean, that obviously you grew up around here, so that's probably how you became a fan. So you fell in love, and at the age that you were at, 97, obviously you probably grew up loving Michael Jordan. That's probably what started your fandom for the Bulls.
Yeah. So I grew up in Glen Ellen, which is a suburb out in the northwest suburbs area, and there since I was three. So basically, like, my first memories as a child are often related to the Bulls. Like, you know, you have some of those like traumatic memories that are your earliest, you know, first memories. Like, I remember like scraping my knee and when I fell over like on the playground, and I remember like wearing Bulls and Michael Jordan related gear and like watching Bulls games. Those are like, I have one early traumatic memory, and then all of my other early memories are just Bulls related. You know, it was like a household rule. My parents weren't big on letting us watch TV. We had like a strict no TV on weeknights or during the school week rule. The one exception was if you get your homework done, you can watch the Bulls on weeknights. And that was what my family did. You know, we would occasionally do movie nights on Sundays, but most often it was we eat dinner and we sit around and watch the Bulls games together as a family. And so, yeah, I became obsessed with it. I liked playing basketball too. I was not the most athletically gifted child. I was a late bloomer. When I spent most of my childhood pretty short and pretty chubby, and I loved the sports, but I wasn't really good at them. So that's like, you know, being a fan was to me a great release to be like, I wished I was better at playing the sports, but I'm not going to let anybody be a better fan than I am of the people who are really, really playing the sports.
Right, that's awesome, man. That's definitely awesome. And we'll move into our final question here. Goose, well, I guess we'll start with you because it's been a week since we've been on, and I know that you had to repaint your cabinets because you fucked up. What have you been up to, man?
No, man, I told you when we started the show. I've just been buying into basketball card breaks. Last night, I actually hit a card worth $5,000.
That's what I wanted to hear on the podcast. Yes.
I paid $67 to get into a random select T-Mall, it's called, break, Zion hunting, and ultimately they put your shit in a randomizer. Whoever paid for a slot, you end up on certain teams, and when he opens the cards, you get those teams. I landed the Pelicans. I pulled out my out of 10 Lauri Markkanen for good luck, and I sat on the couch, and yeah. He pulled a 1 of 10 gold Zion card that's worth $5,000 fresh out of the pack. I'm sending it in to be graded. If I get a 9.5 or a 10, the thing could be worth anywhere from 10 to 20 grand. So like I said, it's like scratch-off tickets for basketball junkies. You pay a fee to get in, and you see if you get lucky, and, you know, you can make some money. So that's how I'm getting my basketball fix in right now. And that's going to pay for my 2 Jay-Z swap in my 300 ZX. So that's fucking fantastic.
Man.
Look at the big baller.
You've got it all figured out, don't you?
Oh, wait, I've already spent it. Card hasn't even arrived in the mail, but it's gone.
Unbelievable. Dude, yeah.
You're a bad influence. I'm going to fucking log off of this podcast and go do some like Bulls at Chicago sports memorabilia shopping online.
Oh, God, dude. Paychecks can go so quick when you start doing that shit. I call it the Buzz Cave. It's my man cave here, and Goose has been here in person a couple times. I got so much memorabilia down here. Signed Derrick Rose plaques. Got my Jordan rookie card over there. I got so much cool shit down here, but I've never done that. So send me a link for that, and then if I spend too much money and Jamie gets pissed off, I'm directing her towards you, just to give you the heads up on what happens. Other than that, I haven't been up to much of anything, bro. I've been just trying to run on tap day to day with, you know, Tony and Nani and stuff, trying to keep that afloat with the no sports world. But we've done pretty good, you know, supplementing with pop culture or music or whatever we're into that day, beer, whatever. But I have become quite the new Disney movie connoisseur. I have watched Moana now 5 times in the last week.
Yes.
Yeah, Moana's great, and I will die on that
Dude,
hill.
I just watched it for the first time when I was quarantining up at Mish with the rest of my family. I have two nieces, the older of which is 2.5 or close to 3. She loves Moana. It's like every day for 45 minutes before dinner, she gets to watch Moana. And we just, like, it was like on loop for a month. And I was like, I honestly don't mind it. This movie's awesome.
Yeah, the movie's great.
I was actually just singing it. I was like humming it to myself in the kitchen the other day. And one of my roommates was like, what was that? And I was like, and he was like, was that Moana? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, it's Moana. I was singing You're Welcome. I'm the whole way home in the car today with the rock song in that movie.
Shout out to Dwayne the Rock Johnson, man.
He's so goddamn talented, man. But yeah, you went away for about a month, right? When you were up in Michigan?
Yeah.
How was that? Yeah, so and what have you been up to since the quarantine's been going on, man?
So my folks are retired up to northern Michigan, not the UP, but up near Traverse City, which is like near the northernmost part of the mitten itself. So when all this shit started to hit the fan, we had kind of joked for years that like the Michigan house was sort of like our family's collective zombie apocalypse plan. It was like, okay, if shit gets crazy, let's all just meet up at the lake.
Yep.
And we all kind of had like a family conference call. Like, you know, I want to say it was like a couple of days after the Rudy Gobert thing happened. And I was like, oh, NBA shut down. Let me check with my boss. I don't think I need to be here right now. If they want us to do like Zoom shows, I can do those from wherever. And the whole family was like, yep, meet up at the lake. So we all met up at the lake and just kind of hunkered down there for the first month or so of this. And it was great. You know, my sister and brother-in-law and my nieces live down in Houston, Texas, so I don't get to see them all that often. So it was great to spend that quality time with my family. and my nieces, who are just the most adorable, precious things. Other than that, you know, spending an entire month plus with the whole family got to be a bit much. You know, the nieces, a toddler with some occasional meltdowns and an infant, they didn't get on my nerves. The rest of my family got on my nerves for sure. I was like, a month. I have not spent an entire month with all of my family members, both of my siblings and my parents, in a long time. And I know why. So it was nice for a while, but then I was like, y'all, I think I'm ready to go back to Chicago. I was like, don't worry, Ma. I'll wear masks. I'll wash my hands a lot. I'll be safe. But I got to go. I just miss Chicago, you know, missed home. So since I've been back, pretty, you know, low key, you know, working from home. Two roommates also working from home. Thankfully, we have a pretty big place. We're not, you know, falling on top of each other. And then on the weekends, we just kind of expand our COVID crew from the three of us to our three ladies. And then we have a friend who lives around the corner from us, who has a nice little backyard. So on the weekends, when the weather's been nice recently, we'll just go, you know, toss some bags, drink some beers, grill out in his backyard, which has been nice. Just you know, be outside.
Yeah,
everybody
absolutely
misses the whole, like, going to restaurants and bars and normal life, especially Chicagoans in the summertime. Like, when that summer weather turns, Chicagoans are like, you know, LFG, let's go out in the streets, let's party. And it's been so weird to, like, see the weather get warmer, and Chicagoans are so eager. And we've even just seen it recently with, you know, bars and restaurants with outdoor patio space slowly opening back up and letting customers come in. And which, you know, and everybody is, you know, has the right to make their own decisions about, you know, when and how they want to kind of reintegrate into the normalcy of life. But when you see these spikes in some of these other southern states that opened up pretty early, and you see that, you know, Chicago as a city and Illinois as a whole are trending well right now because we stayed in our shutdown a little bit longer, you know, just like the NBA players. Like, I hope it happens. I hope everything's okay. But it's like, man, I feel like we're still going to be feeling the ripple of the effects of this for a long, long time. And it's a weird time. I don't think anybody feels normal right now.
Yeah, I went out for like the first time three weekends in a row over at his name's Tony Marchese. He's the president of On Tap, the company that we're running now. And, you know, we went out there with a bunch of the On Tap guys, drank some beer, threw some bags, had a nice time, you know. But it's like, you know, you don't go up to your buddies anymore and, like, you know, give them that high five or whatever and go in for the hug. Hey, man, how are you? Just kind of stay like, hey, dude, how are you doing? Peace sign up.
Yeah.
You know, bring your own beer. Just try to kind of stay away. But I'm hoping and praying for normalcy to, you know, come back sooner rather than later. But, you know, patience is virtue, man. You just got to stay patient.
It's funny you say that about, you know, a buddy giving him a high five and a hug. So last weekend, 2 weekends ago, I saw Sabine for the first time since our last Outsiders episode. It was like the Bulls played on March 10th, Gobert tested positive March 11th. And so, like, I hadn't seen Sabine since our last show in early March. But he joined along with me and a couple other of our coworkers doing a volunteer, like, cleanup session on the west side. And, you know, I picked him up. I gave him a ride. And, like, when he walked out to the street, it, like, we saw each other and then, and just, like, maintained our distance. And it was like both of us had the impulse to be like, yo, buddy, hug. Let's hug it out. We've gone so long without seeing each other. And the both of us were like, oh, no, that's not a thing we're allowed to do right now. It just feels weird, man.
Yeah, it does, dude. I totally agree with you. And like I said, I pray for normalcy to come back sooner rather than later, just to get back and, you know, selfishly to get back into our everyday lives and just kind of live normally again. Because, I mean, I tell you what, you take it for granted when you don't have it. I tell you that right now, man.
That's for certain, man. That's for certain. No, no freezing here took us off at Soldier Field this fall, I don't think, which is a shame because, man, like, you know, that's the part where, you know, even when the games come back and, you know, whether or not baseball gets its shit together, I think we're going to be doing the empty stadium thing for a while. A huge bummer. That's like, just, you know, hearing your story about, you know, going to Bulls games with your dad, thinking about some of my favorite games that I've attended. It's like, that's just blood, man. That's like, you know, you could do a podcast, you could watch the games on TV, but when you're there in that atmosphere, being, you feel like you're a part of the game, you
it's
know,
a different element, man.
And that's such a big part of what I've always loved most about sports and being a sports fan, and is going to the games. And it's just weird that that just doesn't exist right now.
Oh, absolutely, man. Well, Matt, I want to thank you so much for joining us here, man. Again, sorry I pushed it back, but it was well worth it. I'm glad that you were able to make it on the show and, you know, just sit here and bullshit for about an hour. Goose, you got anything to add before we head on out, man?
No, yeah. Thanks again, Matt. It was a good time. Hopefully we can have you on again, and maybe we'll actually have current sports to talk about instead of just beating this when Jim Boylan getting the hell out of here, Horst. But
I think we need to make a pact right now. When that happens, we all get together, whether it's on a podcast or we get a freaking virtual tailgate Bulls Zoom party, and we all crack a couple together and, you know, speculate on who the new head coach is going to be. I think that would be a fun time to have fans of you, Matt, of fans of, you know, us over here at Bulls on Tap and our podcast, Locked On Bulls, Bulls Outsiders, come on together and all of us just talk for a little bit just to, you know, do something different. I think that would be a fun time.
Absolutely. Count me in, gentlemen. I appreciate so much for the offer and the invitation. Happy to come on anytime. I really enjoy what you guys do over there at On Tap, and keep it up, man. Yeah, like you said, Keith, we'll have real things to talk about soon.
Absolutely.
But, you know, in the meantime, content is content, right?
Dude, absolutely. So everybody be sure you're checking out Matt on Twitter at @Bulls_Peck, checking out Bulls Outsiders podcast, Locked On Bulls, not Sox, Locked On Bulls. If you are a Sox
there
fan, if you are a Sox fan, plug for Herb, Locked On Sox, because Herb's my guy. and then be sure you're going to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. We'll be back next week with another edition of Bulls on Tap. Let's go Bulls.